QST from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for October 17, 2012. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. My script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. The Aries Audio e-letter report is a voice version of the Aries e-letter, which is compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. The Aries e-letter is available online at arrl.org/ares-el. Or you may listen to the audio version at arrl.org/ares-e-letter-audio-version. In this month's issue, we have for you Aries Racy's backup comms for GOP convention. 2012 ARRL set action notes, tests in full swing. 2012 International Humanitarian Award nominations open. The Weather Channel to begin naming winter storms. Letters. Recruitment challenges. Perspective in the post-Katrina era. More on systems fallibility. On ARRL HQ's lessons learned from Isaac. Florida's Lake County Aries supports Bicycle Festival. And K1CE for a final. Now the news. Aries Racy's backup comms for GOP convention. Bill Williams, AG4QX, the Hillsborough County, Florida Aries Racy's operations manager, Assistant Emergency Coordinator, and the Greater Area Tampa Community Emergency Response Team, or CERT, liaison for the City of Tampa, was asked by the Tampa Office of Emergency Management to provide emergency backup communications for the city during the time frame of the Republican National Convention, RNC, August 24th through September 2nd, 2012. This tasking required amateur radio at four primary locations: the Tampa EOC, Tampa Fire Station No. 1, Tampa Fire Station No. 3, and the Tampa Fire Rescue Training Academy and Police Training Center staging area. Each location had ICOM IC2820 radios pre-programmed with numerous D-Star and analog frequencies. All of these were tested and could be used for emergency communications. Two training sessions were conducted prior to the event to familiarize the operators with the radio operation and the incident command system compliant plans for the convention coverage. The assignment was treated for the city as a CERT event and an Aries Racy's activation for the county. Volunteer radio operators were scheduled for 24/7 coverage at the four locations, plus the Hillsborough EOC was available for any additional activations if required. Over 1,800 volunteer hours were used to prepare and support the city and county for the week-long operation. The city operated the Consequence Management EOC, staffed and supported by the RNC, the Secret Service, FBI, State Warning Point, and Hillsborough County and surrounding counties' emergency management representatives. A joint incident command was established and operated nearby. Even the threat of Hurricane Isaac did not interfere with the operation. Under the county plan, Aries Racy's put out the call for more operators to support Hillsborough County and the Red Cross shelter operations. The city operation support continued unfazed. The county Racy's officer and ARRL emergency coordinator Keating Floyd, KC4HSI, called on operators from the Tampa Amateur Radio Club to run a resource net until the storm threat passed. Hillsborough County experienced heavy rains and flooding, but only minor damage was reported. All facets of the amateur radio operation were undeniably successful. The RNC went off with very few problems, and congratulations are due to Operations Manager Williams for a job well done, along with all the CERT and Aries Racy's members who supported him and the Tampa Bay community. This report was sent in by Bud Johnson, WB4J. His email address is wb4j@verizon.net. Mr. Johnson is the Hillsborough County Assistant EC, Tampa Amateur Radio Club Liaison, and an ARRL West Central Florida Official Emergency Station. We'll pause now for a few seconds to allow repeaters to identify. Now, 2012 ARRL Set Action Notes, Tests in Full Swing. The Hardin County, Kentucky Amateur Radio Emergency Communications Group is participating in the annual National ARRL Simulated Emergency Test, or SET, this month. Their SET message to your editor says, "We currently have a display set up at Home Depot's Safety Day in Elizabethtown. While at Safety Day, this message is being sent from W8WN's mobile station there. It is being transmitted by HF radio to an automated station in another part of the United States, outside the local simulated disaster area. It then goes via one of five hardened servers located worldwide for redundancy. Then, into the regular internet, to be delivered via email anywhere that email is available. Thus, if the internet were down locally, or even regionally, we still have some email capabilities by using the WinLink 2000 system. This is in addition to, and separate from, our usual local and area VHF operations. As an additional test this year, two mixed-mode, voice and digital, exercise nets were conducted at the end of September from a number of agency locations around Hardin County and from mobiles in the field. We exchanged simulated ICS 213 and Red Cross damage assessment forms. The ARES provides most of the sky-worn severe weather spotters nationwide. If severe weather were in the area, we would normally have trained sky-worn spotters out and a sky-worn net in operation with direct communications to the Louisville NWS, while standing ready to provide interagency communications for the local government safety agencies and NGOs. Thanks for your participation and for your interest in our community. And thanks to Shelby Ennis, W8WN, AAR4IJ. Mr. Ennis's email address is w8wn@arrl.net. He is the Hardin County, Kentucky ARES Emergency Coordinator. Southern Florida Section SET, Operation Solar Storm. The ARRL Southern Florida Section SET scenario is called Operation Solar Storm. And please remember, this is a scenario I'm reading. A once-in-a-lifetime solar storm has impacted Earth. Similar in strength to the solar storm of 1859, also known as the 1859 Solar Superstorm or the Carrington Event, a large solar flare caused a major coronal mass ejection, or CME, to travel directly toward Earth, taking just 18 hours. This took place just over 24 hours ago. Power companies and communications satellite companies were caught off guard by the speed at which the charged particles reached Earth. One of the largest recorded geomagnetic storms occurred as a result of this CME. Aurorae have been seen around the world, even over the Caribbean. People who happened to be awake in the northeastern United States could read a newspaper by the aurora's light. Unfortunately, a good percentage of communications satellites have been damaged, causing havoc with telephone, cellular, and internet communications. Even worse, power lines acting as antennas absorbed the geomagnetic energy, and hundreds of transformers have been burned out throughout North America. Over 90% of the United States and most of the rest of the world have been in a total blackout for over 24 hours. With limited inventory and relatively few factories to make replacement equipment, the blackout is expected to continue for many weeks or months for most areas. While most public radio systems are still operating, many are at or near capacity. Significant portions of cellular service have been disrupted, and landline telephones will not last longer than a few days as batteries drain and generators run out of fuel. The unprecedented widespread blackout will hinder fuel deliveries to replenish generators for many weeks. ARES has been activated by county emergency management officials throughout the southern Florida section. CERT teams have been activated to assist their neighbors. Special needs shelters are being opened throughout southern Florida. The mission of the amateur radio operators is to pass messages to assist government and non-government agencies as their normal communications are either reaching capacity or are not functioning. Note, this is only a scenario for the Southern Florida set and not an actual event. Click on www.sflset.org/gpage1.html with no spaces to see sample messages to pass. I'll repeat that URL, www.sflset.org/gpage1.html with no spaces. For more information, visit www.sflset.org with no spaces. That's www.sflset.org with no spaces. Arkansas set. The Arkansas set is scheduled for November 3, 2012. Section ARES officials report, the emphasis has been placed on a more local concentration of communication than some of our previous sets. An attempt will be made to incorporate digital exercises during the set within each district as well as attempts statewide. There are several digital technical experts that have volunteered to assist those who are digitally challenged with helpful information, should it be needed. The DEC of each district will essentially be in charge of coordinating plans in the district and will likely ask for assistance with coordination of adjacent counties, particularly where there are no ECs in place. This report was submitted by Kirk Seifert, W5KRK. Mr. Seifert is the Arkansas SEC, and his email address is w5krk@nwahams.com. It's time again to take a short pause for station identification. This is the ARRL ARES audio e-letter for October 17, 2012. 2012 International Humanitarian Award, nominations open. Nominations are open for the 2012 ARRL International Humanitarian Award. This award is conferred upon an amateur or amateurs who demonstrate devotion to human welfare, peace, and international understanding through amateur radio. The League established the annual prize to recognize those radio amateurs who have used ham radio to provide extraordinary service to others in times of crisis or disaster. As one of the few telecommunications services that allow people throughout the world from all walks of life to meet and talk with each other, amateur radio spreads goodwill across political boundaries. The ARRL International Humanitarian Award recognizes the amateur radio service's unique role in international communication and the assistance amateurs regularly provide to people in need. More information can be found at www.arrl.org/news. The Weather Channel to begin naming winter storms. Beginning this winter, the Weather Channel will begin naming what it calls noteworthy winter storms. As the Weather Channel explained on its website, a storm with a name is easier to follow, which will mean fewer surprises and more preparation. In addition to providing information about significant winter storms by referring to them by name, The name itself will make communication and information sharing in the constantly expanding world of social media much easier. Unlike the National Hurricane Center, which has named tropical storms and hurricanes since the 1940s, the National Weather Service does not name winter storms. For more information, please read the ARRL newsletter. And speaking of letters, we'll now turn to our letters. John Lawrence, W1QS in Waldboro, Maine, writes about recruitment challenges. He says, "I'm retired here in Midcoast, Maine, and active in consulting with Racy's operations in Knox County. This is the region that stretches inland and along the coast from Camden to Friendship, Maine. The county's comm group is supporting our Racy's activities as part of their emergency communications plan. We have a dedicated 2-meter repeater and mobile trailer as the main assets for our activities. Homeland Security has made Maine's EMA well-organized with the need for more county participation. I'm trying to help out as a volunteer, focusing on technical matters associated with an upgrade to have the 2-meter simulcast FM repeater system adequate enough to cover the entire county with just handheld radios. As a new member, I have found some challenges for the Penn Bay Amateur Radio Club Racy's function and seek suggestions on ways to stimulate getting young members involved. Our club is made up of older, long-term hams who are retired and live in the area. We need young blood to join us so we have enough operators to support emergencies in the state and county. The membership has attempted to come up with ways to attract interest by offering training for license exams, but with poor results. We are all getting older and not gaining new young members. Have you heard of this problem before, and do your readers have suggestions for getting interest in this form of public service? I came here to retire, yet ended up working for the State of Maine's Office of Information Technology as a field engineer for their statewide public safety radio system. That was following a 30-year career in my own small business located in the Silicon Valley. I employed and trained young college graduate engineers for my systems integration business, centered on computer data acquisition and control, and ATE. In addition, I represented RF and microwave companies to the vast marketplace for their products. Now, I'm tasked with overcoming Maine's shortage of technology geeks who should become interested and active in our Racy's group. I'm sure you must know of other regions of the country facing the same problem and have possibly come up with solutions. Any suggestions?" Mr. Lawrence was a communications specialist course instructor for the U.S. Air Force and is a member of the Penn Bay Amateur Radio Club Racy's. His email address is j123law@aol.com. Chris Deaton, AE5TR, writes about perspective in the post-Katrina era. "Thank you," says Mr. Deaton, "for your work and efforts in publishing the Aries e-letter." The opening sentence of the September 19, 2012 letter caught my eye. I hope that you will forgive me for being a bit sensitive about this matter, but in the last 7 years, all we hear is how Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans. Few are aware that Katrina did not make landfall in New Orleans. Katrina lingered far longer than usual, and in doing so, piled water up into the shores, bays, rivers, and bayous of Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. The massive amounts of rain inland flowed downstream to meet the waters of the Gulf of Mexico. The confluence of the two resulted in water depths that have not been seen in 100 years or more. Katrina came ashore at about the mouth of the Pearl River near Pearlington, Mississippi, about 35 miles east of New Orleans. As you know, the storm surge, high winds, rain, and tornadoes occur mostly in the right front quadrant of the storm. The vast majority of the damage to New Orleans occurred when a levee that protects the Ninth Ward from Lake Pontchartrain overtopped. The reason that most Americans only know New Orleans in reference to Katrina is the news media. Perhaps the reason you heard so little about Mississippi is because we did what we always do. We quietly picked ourselves up, helped our neighbors, and did what was necessary to make it possible for others to help us. Katrina damaged Perdido Key, Florida, Gulf Shores, Alabama, Dolphin Island, Alabama, Bayou La Batrie, Alabama, as well as the entire Mississippi Gulf Coast. Most all of the small towns south of New Orleans are extremely low and were wiped out and cut off, but you never heard a whisper about them. Please understand that we love our neighbors in Louisiana, including New Orleans, and we wish for them the best in this decades-long recovery. Most Mississippians simply ask that the focal point of Katrina be where Katrina focused its impact and destruction. The stories of your fellow Americans doing simple and extraordinary acts along the Gulf Coast in the wake of this unthinkable disaster would make you cry. I wish all of America could know what we know and could have seen what we saw. The pride that you hold inside yourself for this country would burst forth in a flood of emotional patriotism. The people of Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana did remarkable things with the help of citizens from every state. We owe you all a debt that cannot be repaid, and you gave yourselves a gift of service that you cannot buy, borrow, beg, or steal. I suppose Hurricane Isaac brought back these emotions when the Weather Channel described us as the landmass between Louisiana and Alabama. The next day, the Weather Channel produced a map that labeled Mississippi as Alabama and vice versa. Well, again, we love our neighbors in Alabama, and there are many wonderful aspects of Alabama that we would like to emulate. However, we are happy with our state name, and I'm sure that Alabama is happy with their name, too. My purpose for this message was not to hit you over the head for a seemingly inconsequential statement, but rather offer a more specific perspective. Please let all know we thank God for everyone's help and kind thoughts. I did not know it at the time, but the Mississippi Coast Amateur Radio Association, MCARA, Club Repeater, was the only form of communication standing in the wake of Katrina, including downed police, fire, and ambulance communications services. The club staffs the Harrison County EOC in Gulfport. My experiences in the aftermath called me to do something, which turned out to be through amateur radio and MCARA. It would appear that this turned out to be the largest, longest, and most effective real-world use of amateur radio emergency communications in this country in my lifetime. Let us plan as though it won't be the last, but pray that it will. Thank you for all that you do, and thank you for your indulgence. Mr. Deaton is the events director for the Mississippi Coast Amateur Radio Association. We'll pause once again to allow repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL e-letter for October 17, 2012. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting. Repeater owners, let us know if your repeater is airing the ARRL e-letter with an email to kz3ab@arrl.net. Please include the day, time, location, repeater call sign, frequency, and any sponsoring club. That email address again is kz3ab@arrl.net. Thank you. Now we'll continue with more letters. More on systems fallibility. James Burrow, N5DTT, the Assistant Emergency Coordinator for the South Texas Aries District 14 in Bel Air, Texas, wrote, I have to say I agree wholeheartedly with W6APZ's comments in last month's Aries e-letter. As you well know from some of my previous emails to you, I see the overemphasis on digital technology and the underemphasis on direct communications to be a real problem. My basic philosophy is that the minimum number of points of failure is the foundation of effective communication. South Texas and a number of Texas and other nearby sections conducted a drill last May that was almost purely digital. It went better than I expected, but still had a number of issues related to the complexity of digital communications. Our planned October 29th statewide ARES exercise, ARRL South Texas, West Texas, North Texas sections, and others, will return to more basic communications and should be a valid training exercise that covers the full spectrum of our capabilities. On ARRL Headquarters Lessons Learned from Isaac, Alan Martin, W1AHM, in Westford, Massachusetts, wrote, "In the last issue, ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager Mike Corey, KI1U, said, 'Lessons learned has been a buzzword in disaster response for many years, and these lessons are important. However, what matters is lessons applied.' I heard this. The FAA defines learning as a change in behavior as a result of experience. Sometimes it's qualified as a relative or permanent change." Florida's Lake County ARES supports Bicycle Festival. The Lake County, Florida Amateur Radio Emergency Service, LA Cares, provided radio communications to support a 3-day bicycle event in Mount Dora, Florida, from October 12th through October 14th, 2012. This event was the 38th annual Mount Dora Bicycle Festival, sponsored by the Mount Dora Area Chamber of Commerce. Excellent weather and moderate temperatures meant there were no heat exhaustion incidents. No ambulance calls were necessary. This year, there were around 600 bicycle riders from all over the United States, with the majority coming from Florida. For many of the riders, this has become an event they look forward to each year. This is not a competitive race, but a series of 14 separate bicycle tours through Florida's Lake County scenic countryside. Jim Ward, N4NCG of Lakeland, Florida, and a member of the Orlando ARES group, supported the communications effort for the Mount Dora Bicycle Festival. The LA Cares group had 23 volunteer radio operators helping to keep the riders safe and secure by manning rest areas, providing mobile SAG wagons, and mobile patrol vehicles for 3 days. This year, we added a 3-wheeled motorcycle and a motor scooter to the vehicle list. Both of these were equipped with 2-meter radios, and the operators had microphones and headsets attached to their helmets. All vehicles were directed by the net control station N4FLA, which had its mobile command trailer set up in Mount Dora next to the Chamber of Commerce building. Mobile units and radio operators at rest areas were able to communicate with the command center using our repeater on 147.00 MHz. We also used APRS to track several of our mobile radio operators out on the course. A total of 10 riders and their bicycles were transported back to the Mount Dora staging area due to mechanical breakdowns, minor injuries, or just plain getting tired out. Lake County ARES has been providing a course on radio communications for the Mount Dora Bicycle Festival for close to 20 years. They use these events to train their members to be ready to deploy and set up emergency radio equipment in case of natural disasters such as hurricanes or tornadoes. Thanks to Ted Lubers, K1AYZ in Tavares, Florida, for this information. And now, K1CE for a final. "It was a pleasure," says Rick Palm, "to participate in the teleconference of the ARRL Emergency Communications Advisory Committee, ECAC, earlier this month. Chairman Jim Cross, WI3N, the Maryland DC section manager, runs a good meeting. He also garners good participation and input as the committee wrestles with many current and demanding issues facing us as amateur radio emergency and disaster response communications planners and operators. The ARES community and greater public service community at large is being well served by this generally under-recognized group of experienced experts from around the country. See you next month. 73, Rick, K1CE, in Daytona Beach, Florida. And that's the Aries Audio e-letter for October 17, 2012. The Aries Audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. The Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB, in Laurel, Maryland. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2012, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.